What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
How do I know where you come from? You could be spies, telling me that you are hungry. That could be lies.
Well, we don't often see this happen, but it does happen for Joseph. Remember those dreams that Old Testament Joseph had when he was just a little kid back at his father's house? He was his father's favorite. His older brothers did not like him. He would tell them about his dreams, and it always involved the other members of the family, sometimes including his mother and father, coming before him and bowing down. And at the end of the Joseph story, those dreams literally come true. The brothers of Joseph, not knowing it is him, come to Egypt to buy food. Joseph is the one who's in charge of selling all the food that Egypt has been stockpiling for 14 years. And then they come and they bow down before him. His dreams are being fulfilled there right in front of his eyes. But it's not just about Joseph's dreams for himself. This, of course, points us to Christ. Joseph's way of understanding the circumstances after everyone's identities are finally revealed in the Joseph story is, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. How is that fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus? Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Joseph forgiving his brothers in Genesis chapters 42 through 45, and then again in chapter 50. Pastor Tom Baker, he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
How are those words, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, fulfilled by Jesus himself?
That's verse 20 of the last chapter in Genesis. And here we see the great faith of Joseph when he sees that. How is it fulfilled in Jesus? Because for the past few weeks, we've been showing that just about everything that happens in Joseph's life also happens in the life of Jesus. But this phrase is very interesting. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. I've often asked congregations, what was the worst day in history? Many times they say when Adam and Eve fell into sin, because we always think about ourselves first, and oh boy, when did I get in trouble? That was the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. But there was a far worse day than that, and that is when the innocent God died in my place. That was what is referred to not as Bad Friday, but as Good Friday. And so when we see what the leaders of Judaism, they meant evil against Jesus, but God used it to work out for good. And so I would say that the crucifixion is the time, because the rest of the verse, verse 20 in Genesis 1, Joseph says, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. He's talking about physical hunger, and therefore, because of the dreams, he was able to store a lot of food. What Jesus has done, we can continue with the verse, that many people should be kept alive eternally because of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, and the promise that heaven is the home for all who believe in Jesus. So in answer to your question, I would say Good Friday is that day.
You did just a little bit here just a moment ago, but bring us up to speed on where we are in Joseph's story when we get to Genesis 42.
Yes. We have seen from last week how Joseph went through a period of humiliation, as did our Lord, in first of all being hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold to Ishmaelites, in slavery to Potiphar, then a lie from Potiphar's wife led him into prison. He told dreams of a butler and a baker. The butler was saved, but forgot about Joseph until Pharaoh had a dream and nobody could tell it. And then we begin the exaltation of Joseph with Pharaoh hearing the interpretation of the dream and putting Joseph second in command. In fact, that bowing down began when the people of Israel hadn't even got to Egypt, because Pharaoh gave Joseph the second chariot. In other words, when that chariot went by, people would bow towards Joseph because he was second in command to Pharaoh. And he continued to be exalted. He was so well appreciated by Pharaoh that when his brothers came, and there's a lot of story going on there that Joseph didn't make himself known, and how would they know him? He was 22 years later, after they had sold him to the Ishmaelites, he was in Egyptian garb, and it says he spoke Egyptian and didn't speak any Hebrew. He used an interpreter, so they couldn't figure out it was him at all. And finally, he lets himself known to them. Jacob and the whole family comes over to Egypt, where Jacob dies, and then at the end of Genesis, Joseph also dies. And it is after the death of Jacob that the brothers think Joseph may put them to death because of what they had done to him, when he says this, you know, "Who am I? I am not God. God knew you meant it for evil, but he worked it out for good."
Okay, when we come to Genesis 42, you mentioned the people bowing down to Joseph's chariot. Now his brothers come and unwittingly bow down before him. Why are they there?
They're there because of verse 57 in Genesis 41. You see, all of this whole story of Joseph is really about preparing for Jesus, namely the promises that were given to Abraham, Isaac, now Jacob, and also to Joseph by God, that they would be going back to the land of Canaan, and through their seed, the seed of Isaac, would come the Messiah. Now listen to verse 57. "Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth." So even in Israel, the famine due to weather or whatever it was, people were unable to grow the kinds of crops that they needed, and so therefore they even went to Egypt, knowing that there had been stockpiles of food set aside for 7 years in preparation for the 7 years of famine. So we think these are just historical events, but I always like to think of the word history divided this way: his story. All of history is really preparing for the coming of the Messiah, having the Messiah arrive, and now living after the time of the Messiah. That's really what true history is about.
So why does Joseph, and we'll get into a little more detail in a few minutes, but why does he kind of play cat and mouse with his brothers during this time when they are seeking sustenance from him?
This is really the most important point of this lesson. The one point is God is fulfilling his promises. But the other point here is a long gospel point. God has ways of stirring up repentance. Because once repentance comes and you then hear the word of forgiveness, you then have hope. And therefore, you have anticipation with comfort. Now, a person will not repent unless they recognize what they have done is wrong. Joseph is so wily and, well, shall we say, of wisdom here. He knows that there is a younger brother, Benjamin. And what he is doing, he is testing the older brothers to see if they will do with Benjamin what they did with him. Namely, if Benjamin becomes a problem, well, they'll just leave him with Joseph in slavery, etc., as long as they get their food. And he wanted to see if their attitude towards that brother Benjamin and also towards their father Jacob had changed, because they had had an attitude that they were willing to lie to Jacob about the death of Joseph and even pretend he had died by a wild animal by dipping that robe of many colors in blood. So the reason it appears that Joseph is somewhat difficult with the brothers, he is testing them to see if they are truly repentant, not only about their own sins, but also about what they had done with Joseph.
And they seem pretty distressed. I'm looking there in the middle of chapter 42. It's Reuben who's remembering what they did to Joseph. He seems very concerned that things are coming back around. The chickens are coming home to roost. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes. What they say after Joseph says, bring your younger brother to me, and then I will know that you're telling the truth. And they said to one another, in truth, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul when he begged us, and we did not listen. This is why this distress has come upon us. And Reuben says, did I not tell you not to sin against the boy? But you did not listen. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood. It appears that these particular brothers are still theologians of self-glory, imagining that God is a God who gets even with you when you sin, and therefore anything that happens bad is because you've done something bad. This is a common understanding of the old Adam, that God never sends you suffering. The Pharisees taught this all the time. Never sent you suffering or illness or that you were blind or lame unless it was because of some sin you had done. Where this is the most important lesson for the Sunday school teachers to get across to the students, that the way that God brings us closer to him is to appear to be absent from us, so we are left alone under our own condition and soon find we have no hope, and therefore we then can look outside of ourselves for hope. This is the way God works, and the Heidelberg Disputation in particular shows very well, Luther wrote that in 1518, that God uses suffering to bring us closer to him, just like a little independent child, when he suffers, cries out for his mom and dad.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, we'll continue teaching this Sunday school lesson on Joseph forgiving his brothers. For the time being, he's still sending his brothers back with grain and the money. He's demanding Benjamin be brought back. He's holding Simeon, I believe, as a hostage in the place of the youngest son, Benjamin. And Jacob doesn't want to send anybody back down there. We'll pick it up right after that, after this.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271, or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Joseph forgiving his brothers, in Genesis chapters 42 through 45, and then we pick up a little bit there in chapter 50 as well. Okay, so at this point, things are pretty dark for everybody involved with the exception of Joseph. He's back in Egypt handing out the grain and selling the grain. But the brothers have returned to Jacob, their father. They've left Simeon as a hostage, more or less, with Joseph. Joseph wants to see Benjamin, and Jacob does not want to part with Benjamin. He's assuming if he sends him down there, he's out three sons, Joseph, Benjamin, and Simeon, and he's not willing to pay that price. And yet the famine continues. What happens next, Tom?
What happens, Judah speaks up and says that he will guarantee that everything will be okay with Benjamin, and that therefore he earnestly begs the father, namely Jacob, to let them return, and he does so. So they go back, and when they get back, of course, Joseph tests his brothers again. And he tells them, fill them in sacks with food as much as they can carry. But put my cup, my special silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and that's Benjamin's. And so after they leave, and Benjamin doesn't know, of course, he's got the special goblet in his sack, the men of Joseph, his soldiers, catch up with them, and they go and search through the sacks and find it in Benjamin's sack. And of course, they had already agreed that if they found it in anybody's sack, he would go back to Joseph. Well, the brothers are so upset, they all return, and Judah goes up and says, please, this will kill my father. And he asks specifically, let me remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father. And then, you know, I don't know, Todd, if they've ever had a movie on this, but this could be such a moving portion of the movie of Joseph. It says he could not control himself before all those who stood by him. And so he asked all the Egyptians to leave, so he was only alone with his brothers. In fact, he wept so loudly, the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And then Joseph says, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? And the brothers, I mean, some of the translation says they were dismayed. That's not strong enough. What the original Hebrew here means, that they were really terrified because this was Joseph, whom they had sold into slavery. He had the power to put every one of them to death. They were just without words. And it is at that point that I think there's two verses I would like the Sunday school teachers to keep in mind. The first one is Genesis 42, verse 28, when the brothers really are in trouble and they say, "What is this that God has done to us?" And the other verse is 45, verse 5. And Joseph says, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." What a different picture of God did the brothers have. They had a God of justice who was going to get even with them for their sin. Joseph knew that all the sufferings he underwent, they were all for one purpose, as the dreams had foretold him, that people would bow to him and that he would be used by God to keep alive many as survivors through the work of God. It's the difference between the theologian of self-glory who tries to get ahead with God by works and the theologian of faith who believes that God's promises are sure and therefore there is nothing to fear. And that's what the Sunday school teachers, I believe, need to get across to the students.
So in the end, he really has a completely different perspective. He says it wasn't you who sent me down here. It was God who sent me down here. He has a completely different read of his entire life. This is really, really talking about is an entire adult life. He sees in the perspective of God trying to preserve, as he says, a remnant. What's this idea of this remnant that's being preserved?
This is the second theme of this lesson, is that God is really doing all of this because of Jesus. We have a promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 where he says, "I will make you a great nation." And then in Genesis 12, verse 7, he says, "To your offspring I will give this land of Canaan." Then to Isaac, he says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." That's Genesis 26. "And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Then to Jacob, in Genesis 49, this is what Jacob says, "I am to be gathered to my people." Now, Jacob is saying this when he's in Egypt. And therefore, he says, "Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, which is in Canaan." So it reminds us of Genesis 46, verse 3 and 4. Here's what God says to Jacob. "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and," now here comes the fulfillment, "I will also bring you up again." And then even to Joseph, when he's about to die, says to his brothers, "God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." So while all the Egyptians are just looking at, "Well, this is marvelous, we have food and this kind of thing," and remember, they're now going to be down in Egypt for 400 years, one would think that, you know, the promise isn't going to take place until we get to next week's lesson with the birth of Moses. God's hand is slow. I mean, Abraham and Sarah learned that 25 years till she finally gave birth to Isaac after the promise. And look how long it took God when the fullness of time came during the time of the Romans, when Jesus finally came to earth. So if we can teach children two things here, patience and hope, patience that God will never break his promises that he gave you in your baptism, that he will never forsake you. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven is your home. You're wearing the robe of righteousness. And hope, so they can now look to the future no matter what problems they're going through in their lives. And what hope means is to have anticipation with comfort.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take another break and a few more minutes with him on the other side of that break while we teach a Sunday school lesson in Genesis chapters 42, and he's spoken there briefly about chapter 50. I got a question about Joseph dying at the end of this thing. We'll save that for the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Tom hosts a radio show called Law and Gospel. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org.
That Joseph, who you thought was dead, your brother, it's me.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
We often talk about this Sunday school curriculum that guides our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker as Christ-centered and cross-focused. Here is a very good example of that from the lesson for this coming Sunday. It says, when God forgives us because of His Son, Jesus, we can say, so we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. That's actually quoting the Small Catechism, the fifth petition to the Lord's Prayer. It goes on to say, just as Joseph revealed himself at the feast with his brothers, so our Lord reveals himself at the feast of the Lord's Supper and forgives us, fortified with his body and blood, we turn and forgive and love our neighbor. That's a great example of this Sunday school curriculum being Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more about growing in Christ. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand, or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample of this Sunday school curriculum. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about growing in Christ. Tom, we talked in the course of this story about Joseph undergoing humiliation and then exaltation, humiliation, exaltation, humiliation, exaltation. But at the end of the story, he's dead and buried and put into a coffin and embalmed. And I'm wondering whether or not the Joseph story awaits one more exaltation. You can't get any farther down than the grave and death. I wonder if he awaits one more exaltation, which can only be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What are your thoughts?
I will say that to a degree, he's already received that exaltation, because he doesn't say in the very last verses of Genesis chapter 50, he doesn't say, God will surely visit you and you shall carry me from here. No, he says, and you shall carry up my bones from here. In other words, Joseph was a human being. He died the same way that Jesus did. At the moment of death, the spirit was in the heavenlies. with Jesus. And so when he died, being 110 years old, the only exaltation he has left to experience is his body returning to his spirit, and that is on the day of judgment. So I would say, yes, he already has had that first exaltation, which we call the interim, and now he's awaiting, as are all the saints who have gone on before us, the second exaltation.
So this is a story, ultimately, and it's interesting that so much of the book of Genesis is taken up with a story that ultimately becomes about forgiveness. What are your thoughts there?
Yes. And we're often wondering, where is Jesus? Well, obviously, we can say he's in the background directing all of this, but there's a specific reference to Jesus, and I'll tie it in with forgiveness then. It occurs when Jacob is going to bless the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. By the way, we're not going to be able to give all the details here. And in fact, the growing in Christ, it says, due to the amount of text to cover and the constraints of time, you will not be able to discuss everything in detail. I encourage the Sunday school teachers to read chapters 42 to 50. It's easy reading. It's all kind of good history, but it will really get you into the mood of teaching this to the children. Now, here's the blessing that he blesses Joseph with, namely Jacob. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. Now, this is really interesting. We have what's called a chiasmic structure. I don't want to get into the grammar too much, but the first two, God and God, now are in parallel with the angel. And when you look up the term the angel, and this has a definite article before it, as Peter Kurowski points out in his Angel of Angels, some 70 times in the Bible, the angel is referring to Jesus. And in the Old Testament books, it would be prior to his incarnation. So, the God could be the Father, the second God, the Holy Spirit, and now the angel is Jesus Christ. You got the Trinity. This is Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16. And he has redeemed me. That's the same word used for salvation. What does he redeem me from? He's redeemed me from having to go to hell because of my sin has been forgiven.
We got about 1 minute, Tom.
So, as with Abraham, God made him a promise. Through Isaac would come the Messiah. He believed it, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. When you recognize that you are righteous in God's sight, not because of your works, but because of the trust that the Holy Spirit has placed in your hearts, then you are motivated to forgive others because you see the big picture that even though they meant it for evil, God promised he would work it out for good, as is backed up by Romans 8:28. This is a tremendous lesson for Sunday school teachers to be talking to Sunday school students.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller respond to an evangelical cliche. We will look forward to Sunday morning, according to the historic one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about the parable of the wedding feast from Luke chapter 14. It's actually a parable about a feast that's told at a feast. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama; Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa; Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington; Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington; Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina; Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania; St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota; Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa; Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin; St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois; and Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300.